Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Exodus to begin with. Exodus chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Verses 15 to 22, Exodus chapter 1. Then looking in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you've answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Lord, we thank you for being El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Thank you for being Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Thank you for being Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Thank you for being our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. Thank you for being our risen Lord. And thank you for calling us out of the world and into a new relationship with you and with each other. Lord, fill us afresh with your Spirit. Lord, we come and first confess, Lord, so often, Lord, we have been much too complacent and laid back about the reality that we live in a nation that seems to think it's okay to murder babies too often. Lord, we have much blood on our hands as a nation. We've sinned against you. We've destroyed your children. Lord, by faith, we repent and we turn from this wickedness and we repent completely of it. Forgive us, Lord, and Lord, stir us as your church to have your heart, your mind, your perspective on this. Help us to live with the perspective of wanting every day to ask the question, Lord, what do you want me to do to help share the gospel? What do you want me to do to help stand boldly for life? Help us, Lord, to be the fully available vessels you'd have each one of us to be and to do. Thank you for the chance to be your hands and feet in this world where so many people have been beat up and left on the side of the road for dead. And so many babies, they too are the victims who've been beat up and left on the side of the road for dead. Help us, Lord, to be the church you want us to be, the church of compassion, mercy, and grace. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Isaac Jackson. Isaac is going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Hey, love, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I just want to come in agreement with Pastor Joseph. Father, I ask that you would raise up the church to do even more works, to work harder to provide for mothers, to encourage mothers that have unexpected pregnancies, to help them through trials and difficult situations, that we would embrace them with open and loving arms, Father. I pray that you'd grow up the nation in maturity, that you'd bring to light the lies of the enemy that all of our culture's been believing about abortions and about premarital sex. And Father, I ask that you would just bring us into obedience and into reconciliation as we try to grow more and follow as you've loved us, that we'd love others as you have loved us. Thank you so much, Father. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you for being a part of our listening family. As always, we appreciate you listening. And, you know, often we share articles that we encourage you to email us to get copies of just so that you'll have them as tools for your own walk with the Lord, tools to use in the discipling of your family, and tools to share with others. Well, we're going to share an article that will help introduce a part of the topics we'll be dealing with, as well as helping us to introduce some very special individuals that are part of an important ministry called Love Life as well. So I'm going to start by sharing the article. The article is entitled, Is Your Church a House of Refuge? And you can find it on the AFA stand. Go to afa.net, and there you can find lots of articles, including this one. Again, the title, Is Your Church a House of Refuge? In our nation, the landscape of the battlefield for life has changed, yet the battle continues to rage. State legislatures are passing laws, some to take steps to support life and others to further promote abortion. Tragically, most abortions in our nation are chemical abortions. And sadly, this kind of abortion can be hidden, done in secret. And yes, this kind of abortion can be obtained and has been obtained in all 50 states after the passing of Roe v. Wade. It's critical that the church recognizes that our battle is genuinely a spiritual one being fought in the heavenlies. The church is genuinely the most powerful institution in the world. It's simply vital that we come to realize who we are and what we're called to do. What are we called to do? We're called to love. We're called to love people by proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And we're called to love people by being the hands and feet of Jesus in a world full of troubled, weary, and lost people. One important group of people that the church must come alongside is mothers who find themselves expecting a child at a tough time in their lives. What can the church do to passionately show these mothers the love of Jesus in a very faithful and genuine way? Well, one thing that churches can do is a church can become a house of refuge. The national ministry Love Life is helping local churches across our nation get involved with Standing for Life by helping them to become what's known as a house of refuge. A house of refuge church is a local church that does the following things. Number one, this church reads the House of Refuge statement at least twice a year from the pulpit, and this church posts the statement publicly on their website and or in their lobby. See the statement below. Number two, this church has selected a representative from their congregation, and Love Life has trained that rep to equip their church family to be a house of refuge. The following is the House of Refuge statement to be read. Our church is a house of refuge. This applies to everyone in this church or people you know that need a place of refuge. Here's what we believe. If you find yourself in an unplanned pregnancy, please know that being pregnant is not a sin, and the child you carry is not a punishment. This child is a blessing. God is knitting this child in your womb. You may have made a sinful decision that led to this pregnancy, or you may have been sinned against, but we want you to know you're loved, and we will do whatever it takes to help you carry and care for this precious child before and after birth. We can never support or encourage a woman to have an abortion because the child you carry is made in the image of God and is innately valuable and loved by God. You need to know how we will respond. Here's what we won't do. This church family will not tolerate gossip about you, shame you, or abandon you. This is a house of refuge, and we will not allow the family of God to harm one another with words or actions contrary to the love of God as revealed in the Word of God. Here's what we will do. We will do everything in our power to remove whatever obstacles stand in the way of you having this child. There are people in this church ready to mentor you, throw you a baby shower, and connect you to resources inside and outside of our church, a local pregnancy care center. We will also hold men accountable for living out their calling to provide and protect women and children. Finally, if you have ever had an abortion in your past, we want you to know that abortion is not an unforgivable sin. Whoever confesses and forsakes their sin finds mercy. If you've never gone through a post-abortion Bible study, we will be happy to connect you to one so that you can walk in complete healing and freedom. If your church has a desire to become a house of refuge, it's not hard to go through the process. And the reason to do it is because it helps the church in one more powerful and effective and important way to further be the hands and feet of Jesus in this tough world. For more information on this opportunity, go to Love Life's website, lovelife.org. Again, the title of that article, is Your Church a House of Refuge? And so now I want to introduce our guests who we've had the privilege of having them before. It's been a little bit, but we're grateful to have them with us once again. Shailene Burlidge and Jennifer Gerrells of the great ministry Love Life. Shailene and Jennifer, how are you all today?
We're doing well. Thank you so much for having us on today.
Yes, thank you.
Honored to have you back again. And I want to ask if each of you would take time to further introduce yourselves individually. And then we want to talk and allow you to share about the work and the mission of the national ministry, Love Life, as well.
Sure. My name is Shailene Burlidge, and I am one of the city directors here in Alabama. And I am the director of outreach. So I speak to pastors and get them onboarded as a house of refuge, which we'll talk about in a little bit. And then Jennifer.
And then my name is Jennifer Gerrells. I'm also in the Birmingham area, and I am the director of development. So for every house of refuge church that we onboard, we help develop a life team inside so that the members are trained and ready to serve.
All right. Well, again, we're grateful to have you all. And just I want to clarify very clearly here then. So part of what you all do is teach and prepare churches to be a church. The term house of refuge refers to a church that's been trained to receive, to love, and to walk alongside a mom in that unique time and kind of be a special family for them during her time of expecting a baby. Would that be correct to put it that way?
Yes, that's exactly right. We're equipping the pastor to know how to address his congregation from the pulpit with life-affirming words so that people feel safe to come there as a haven for those who are in a crisis situation. And then we equip the church members themselves to be able to take part in caring for those families by mentoring or encouraging, being the family of Christ to surround them with the support that they need, not only during the crisis, but also for life. Our goal and mission is for discipleship to happen for lifelong.
Hmm. Okay. Well, just a question again, both to Shailene and Jennifer. And I tell you what, we're coming up on a break, so we'll just I'll share the question on the other side of the break. But thank you all so much for being with us today. Again, our phone guests today are Shailene Burlidge and Jennifer Gerrells of the ministry Love Life. And we'll be talking in part about churches becoming houses of refuge. We'll be right back.
That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved.
The music of Chris Tomlin with Amazing Grace. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guests today are Shailene Burlidge and Jennifer Gerrells with the ministry Love Life, and they happen to work in the Birmingham, Alabama community, but also work and have a part of their immediate mission field includes the states of Alabama and Mississippi as well. But also they'll be sharing about things believers everywhere can get involved with. Now, Shailene and Jennifer, would you just briefly touch on this? Like, as you share about what a house of refuge is, it sounds to me like it wouldn't hurt if every congregation everywhere became a house of refuge. Would you share your thoughts on that?
Yes, we know that the church is not immune itself to abortion and the suffering of abortion in their congregation. We know that 1 in 4 men and women will have or have had an abortion in their lifetime. And actually, that statistic is changing. It is rising and quickly becoming 1 in 3. But right now, it's 1 in 4. And that statistic is the same inside the church and outside the church. So we need to address in our church what is happening. We have men and women facing unplanned pregnancy that do not feel safe running to the church, but they are running to abortion clinics in abortion-friendly states or the abortion pill in states where it is illegal to have an abortion, and they're having these abortions at home. So what, more than half of these men and women claim to be Christians. And so, and regular church attenders. And so many church members also suffer the shame of a past abortion. So we do need every church. This is not political. This is, every church needs to be a house of refuge.
We've actually had a situation come up where a pastor challenged those statistics. He felt like his congregation was immune, that they didn't struggle with this issue of abortion, and our statistics could not possibly be correct. So he went back to his congregation and asked them, how many of you have had some kind of involvement or have been affected by abortion? He was not asking them to directly confess whether they had personally had an abortion, but just if they had been affected by abortion and personally or in their family. And out of a 400 member church, everyone came forward except for 2 people. And he was blown away. It totally changed the dynamic of their church after that, because confessions began to happen. Openness and honesty and real conversations began to flow, and people's faith was activated. It was a dramatic turning point when he began to acknowledge that this is an issue that affects the church just as deeply as it does people outside the church.
Well, you know, Shailene and Jennifer, before we go further, now, of course, there are all kinds of huge implications behind the story that you just shared about that pastor and that congregation, which really reflect much more the reality of our culture. Before we move forward, would you all pray for the Lord to really speak to every listener what he wants them to hear? Because a part of what I believe God wants to do is to challenge every single listener to get involved. Just don't sit on the sidelines, but get involved with this critical issue of standing for life and helping to save babies and helping to overturn the reality of legalized abortion. Would you all pray for that?
Certainly. Father, I'm just thinking about the passages of Scripture in Revelation where you have churches who are asleep, who are not loving, they are not returning to their first love. And God, I see that in America. I see that in your precious bride, that we are asleep on the job. We are not seeing the kingdom mission that you have for us. So, Father, I'm asking that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would wake up your people, that we would not have a spirit of slumber anymore, Father, but our spirits would come alive, that we would see the lives that are at stake, the value, the sanctity of life, the value of your word. God, I lift up to you pastors who are blinded to the issues, who have bought into the lie that this is a political talking point and that it needs to be avoided instead of seeing it for the discipleship issue that it is. God, this people's hearts need to be shepherded. People are desperate for healing and hope. Those people who have suffered the trauma of abortion, not knowing what they were getting into, and then reaping the percussion. Satan has just had a field day with them, Father, and no more. We stand against that, Father, and we ask right now that you would embolden your pastors. They would no longer fear man, but they would only fear you, Father, and that you would raise up House of Refuge churches across our nation that boldly take a stand for life and that are addressing the issues that need to be spoken of, Father. I just bind that spirit of fear that has held so many pastors back and the spirit of confusion, Father, we bind that as well in the name of Jesus. And we ask that clarity and light come to this issue and that your people who are suffering from past sins, Father, that they would be cleansed. From those who are contemplating abortion, Father, that they would know what the right way is because they're being taught at church and through your word. So we just ask, Father, that you would move in a mighty way, a dramatic way this year in 2024. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Shailene, would you pray as well, please?
Sure. Lord, we just come to you thanking you for this opportunity. Lord, we ask that you just open up the eyes and the hearts of your people, Father. Let's start with the ones that love you, that have come to you, Father, and pray for the others, Father, to come to know you. Father, let us just present the gospel in a way, Father, that just shines your light. Let your light shine through each of us, Lord. Lord, we ask that you touch the hearts of the moms and dads who think that abortion is the answer. Father, we know that this grieves your heart. So we ask that you wake up the church, Lord, and grieve their heart for what grieves yours. And let us just walk in a way that is pleasing to you, Father. We value life in the womb, Father. By not valuing life in the womb, life is not valued to the tomb, Lord. And we are seeing that. So we ask for a healing in our land. We repent of the sin of abortion, Father, in our nation, in the world, Father. And we just place this at your feet and ask that you move in your people, in your name, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord, I thank you for, again, the work of Love Life. And thank you for Shailene and Jennifer. And thank you for so many believers you've raised up to be leaders in the stand for life. Lord, stir every single listener to really be prepared to ask you the question, Lord, what do you want me to do with regards to the matter of standing for life? And help us all to respond faithfully and passionately to be all that you want us to be and do what you want us to do to help stand for life and end the tragedy of legalized abortion in our nation and our world. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Now, Shailene and Jennifer, let me just kind of a hard question. From your perspective, has Roe v. Wade slowed down the rate of abortion in our nation?
No, sir. As a matter of fact, abortion is the number one cause of death in any state. It is above heart disease, cancer, gang violence, abortion. Let that sink in, is the number one cause of death. And abortion has not gone down since Roe v. Wade. Through those surgical abortions in many states are illegal, not enough states, I'll say. Abortion pills can be delivered to your door. And what is happening is women are having abortions at home alone, and they see what is happening. And this is a whole nother level of trauma for these women. And so we're seeing the suicide rate go up because of this. And the pro-abortion community, they are targeting women and men on our college campuses with mobile billboard trucks that say, abortion pills delivered to your door. Now, this is happening in states where abortion is illegal. They're happening here in Alabama. They're happening in other states across the nation where abortion is illegal. And so we need to fight that. We need to combat that and open up our doors as a church and do old school evangelism and get out there and spread the word and love and hope of Jesus Christ to where they are targeting. So we want to reach her first. We have a campaign that we would like to start across the nation called Reach Her First, before they order the abortion pill or get word of being able to order it.
Well, if someone wants to get in touch with you all or with Love Life to learn more about how they can get involved with what you're talking about, how can they do that?
If they want to get in touch with us, they can email us at alabama@lovelife.org. That's alabama@lovelife.org, and that will reach Shailene and I. If they are interested in having their church become a House of Refuge church, they can simply go to lovelife.org/refuge. That's mm-hmm. lovelife.org/refuge.
And also your websites would give people information about what they can do in their own community to help make a difference and be a witness for these same causes. Would that be correct?
Yes, yes. The main website for Love Life in general is lovelife.org. And there is a connections section on that website. And then they can click on the lane that interests them most. We have several areas that people can get involved in. Mm-hmm. If they want to become a mentor or foster care or post-abortion recovery or sidewalk outreach, if they want to be a prayer champion or a financial supporter, we have ways of training and getting them plugged in. But the easiest step is just to go to lovelife.org and then click on the connections tab, and then they can choose which area they want to get more involved in.
Okay. Shailene and Jennifer, would you all both pray for the church and the leadership of the church to really get so much more involved like they need to be in the life issue across the board?
Yes, Lord, we just come to you again, thanking you for this opportunity. Lord, we ask that you touch the pastors' hearts that are hearing this, that maybe come across the article that Pastor Joseph wrote, and open up their hearts. Father, remove the veil from their eyes. I know that I have had conversations with pastors that have said, well, this isn't happening here. Maybe you have an older generation congregation. Well, they have grandkids. This is affecting everyone. When I ask the question, who has been affected in different areas, Father, in different meetings, everyone raises their hand. This is a ripple effect, Father. It not only affects the woman, it affects the father. It affects family members and grandparents and siblings, Father. And so I ask that you just open the eyes of the pastors, remove the veil, and let them see, break their hearts for what's breaking yours in your name.
Amen. Amen. And Jennifer, would you pray for that to that effect as well?
Yes. Father, I know that you want us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. You give us your instructions. You give us your heart, your spirit, not to keep it for ourselves, but to extend it to others. I also think about when I was in college taking a class on the Holocaust and learning about all the atrocities that happened to the Jewish people and others during that time. And I was appalled. I wondered, where was the church? Why did the church not do anything to stand up for that? Not even realizing that at that very moment, there was an abortion clinic less than a mile from where I was taking that class. And to this day, over 90,000 babies have lost their lives at that abortion clinic. Father, I just was ignorant of what was going on. And I feel like that's true for your church in general. But you said that your people perish for a lack of knowledge, God. And I pray that that ignorance or apathy or disobedience would be gone, Father, that you would remove that from your bride and that instead your people would be motivated out of love for you and out of desire to bring life to this nation, Father, that they would be motivated out of the pews and into action, Father, practical, helpful action, Lord, just like the Samaritan did for the man in the ditch. Father, that's what you're calling us to do, to gird up our...
You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guests today are Shailene Burlidge and Jennifer Gerrells of the Ministry of Love Life. We'll be right back. Music of Phillips, Craig, and Dean with the Revelation Song. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. I want to begin this segment by reading a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when do we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. That was verses 31 to 46, Matthew chapter 25. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the fact that you call us, your church, in the world to be, again, your hands and feet. And you call us to live a life of compassion, a life of mercy, a life of grace, whereby we reach out to simply carry out your heart and your will in a world full of people who've been beat up by the world. And Lord, help us to recognize, Lord, that in a tremendous way, babies in the womb are time and time again amongst those that are in most desperate need. They can't defend themselves. They can't speak up for themselves. They cannot march for themselves. They cannot cry out on their own behalf. You've called us to love them for on their behalf. Help us to recognize, Lord, that we are your ambassadors. We're called to speak truth. We're called to stand up on their behalf. We're called to represent your heart. And help us to know, Lord, these are your babies. These are your children. And we're to be your vessels through which your will get done. Lord, I pray that every single person listening right now, I pray that not a single one will think to themselves, well, somebody else will do it. Help every listener to decide, Lord, I want you to help me to know what you want me to do to get involved. Help us all to get off the sidelines and get out and carry out your will on the field of life. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guests are Shailene Burlidge and Jennifer Gerrells of the ministry Love Life. Shailene and Jennifer, what are some things you'd like to share with our listeners in this final segment about the issues we've been discussing today?
One of the things that we haven't touched on yet, and it's a beautiful thing that we are seeing happen through this House of Refuge initiative across the country, is just Jesus's prayer of unity that he prayed right before he went to the cross. So obviously unity was on his mind. Unity of the body of Christ was on his mind at such a critical hour. And we are watching this topic, the House of Refuge Church, create a beautiful picture of unity in all of the life ministries and across evangelical denominational lines. So Baptists are standing side by side with Presbyterians and Methodists and Episcopalians, and the whole group are working together through prayer, by praying together for these issues and then serving. We are also seeing pregnancy centers, life on wheels buses, those are medical mobile units, medical health centers, Christian medical health centers, and others beginning to refer their clients and their patients to our House of Refuge churches. So they are encountering people who are lost and hurting on the street, doing their ministry, doing their job. But instead of those people remaining out in the community, not having a place to go or not having any instruction, they are being connected with churches that are trained and ready to receive them. And in that way, we are becoming fishers of men and women. As they come into the church, where we are then able to love on them, help support them, and disciple them for life. So it's creating a full circle instead of ministries being siloed in different pockets. We're watching God bring together the body of Christ to create a comprehensive network of support across our country. So it's pretty awesome.
So I'd like to share with you that Jennifer and I attended, each year we attend a pro-life summit here in Birmingham for 3 years in a row now, where, you know, 10 to 15 different pro-life organizations come together and we share our organizations with each other. Well, at the last pro-life summit, Jennifer and I presented and we stood up and asked, how many of you here today have heard about Love Life? Well, almost all hands, 90% of all hands went up and said that they have heard about Love Life. And then the next question was, how many of you attend a church that is a house of refuge? Or how many of you have talked to your pastor? And only two hands went up. So this is, a lot of people have heard about Love Life, but people tend to listen, but not actively engage. And we would just encourage you to pray and ask, what would God have you do? He is having each of us do something. And so we would ask you to please visit lovelife.org and find out how you can engage. You can contact Jennifer and I by emailing us with any questions that you have at alabama.org.
Alabama@lovelife.org.
I apologize. Alabama@lovelife.org. And we'll, connect with you right away. If you would like us to connect with your pastor, or if you want to connect you with our national Love Life team, Love Life is in 24 cities across the nation, from California, Colorado, New York, Chicago, Detroit. We have Alabama and New Mexico and Florida. So we're in other states as well. So we want to create this network of House of Refuge churches that we can band together and really be the answer in any situation, but for men and women facing unplanned pregnancy and those suffering the trauma of past abortion, we would like you to reach out to us so we can equip your church to be a house of refuge.
Mm. If there is any Love Life ministry in your city or state, you can be the one. That's how Shailene and I were. There was nothing happening here in Alabama, and we just went into training with Love Life and began starting things here. And it can be like that organically throughout the country. So don't think, oh, well, there's nothing here, I guess I can't do Love Life. You mm-hmm. can. You may be the very one that God is calling to start something in your state.
And, you know, I would add to that, it's so important for us to never make the mistake of thinking, well, because I don't see the issues in front of me, that maybe they're not issues that are going on in my community. The reality is, it's sad, but the reality is that there are people who are contemplating or having abortions in pretty much everyone's community, sadly. And so it's important for us all to get involved and to be faithful ambassadors for the kingdom of God. And I think of this too. Your average pregnancy clinics, too many pregnancy clinics are very, sadly, poorly funded, to be quite honest. Many of them operate on shoestring budgets, and often the director is poorly paid, to be quite honest. And part of the problem is because, again, there aren't enough churches that are supporting them. The fact is that I recall having a conversation with a person that's a part of the pregnancy clinic that's probably the busiest one in the state of Mississippi, Northwest Mississippi. And I asked them, well, they shared they'd recently had a survey. There were around 500 and so churches in that part of the state. And I asked them, how many churches support you financially? And her sad response was, after she shared kind of a pitiful chuckle, she said, 13. 13 churches out of 500. What a tragedy. The churches aren't getting more involved in supporting them with their prayers and their finances. Lord, stir every church listening to decide, I'm going to do something. I'm going to do what God wants me to do to help encourage my church to get involved with supporting pregnancy clinics and other ministries that are on the front lines of standing for life. Lord, help us all to do whatever you're calling us individually and collectively to do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Shailene and Jennifer, our time is about completely gone here. Would you share website information one more time, please?
Okay. Go to lovelife.org. And then you can click on the connections tab to get involved individually. If you would like your pastor to sign up as a House of Refuge church, direct him to lovelife.org/refuge. And then if you would like to contact us, Shailene and I, here in Birmingham, then email us at alabama@lovelife.org.
All right. Thank you again, Shailene and Jennifer, for being with us once again, and keep up the great, great work. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you've never made the very, very important decision of inviting Jesus Christ to become the Lord and Savior of your life, today is a great day, a wonderful day to make that very important decision. If you'd like to commit your heart and life to the Lord and be saved, would you simply from your heart pray this prayer with me even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In the Word of God, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, today I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, we're very much wanting to be in touch with you once again. My email, joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We want to share with you some literature and resource material that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be sure and make contact with us. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. We definitely hope to hear from you. Again, joseph@afr.net. Shailene and Jennifer, thank you all so much for being with us. One more time, share contact information if someone wants to get in touch with you or the Ministry of Love Life.
You can reach us at alabama@lovelife.org. If you want more information about Love Life in general, visit our main website at lovelife.org. That's lovelife.org. And if you want to go straight to House of Refuge, just put in lovelife.org/refuge.
All right. Well, thanks so much again for being in touch, and keep up the great work. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.